Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta, and today we're going to talk about how to increase your gratitude. And of course, as of this recording, this is actually a week of Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter when you're listening to this, though. You can always be grateful. And it's just at the top of my mind at this point. And I'll share with you some ways to increase your gratitude, the connection between gratitude and voice, and just some ways that you can work this into your daily life, as well as some things that I'm grateful for. And I thought I'd share that with you. So let's talk about, first of all, the importance of gratitude. I think that we can all agree that gratitude is something that we should all strive for. But I want to say a little bit about this idea of gratitude. You know, we often, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up if you're listening to this, you know, as of this recording. If not, Thanksgiving will come up at some point. But we all hear about, you know, the importance of being grateful. But at the same time, I don't think that we often reflect on what does it really mean to be grateful? How do we increase our sense of gratitude? And also just what it means to be grateful. So let me just say that, you know, one of the things I've heard that I really enjoy is this idea that, you know, if you're really anxious, for example, to come back to gratitude, because you can't be in a state simultaneously in a state of anxiety and a state of gratitude. So if you find your way back to gratitude, it will move you out of anxiety. And I would say the same thing about depression or other things. At the same time, what I want to say is that, I don't know, sometimes people think of gratitude or having gratitude as meaning that you're just over the top excited about your life. And I don't think that that's always the case. I don't think that we have to be, you know, we could, for example, experience loss. You know, this around the holidays, for example, a lot of times it's very difficult for people because they may have experienced the loss of a loved one through the year, and then this is the first time that they have been without, you know, that person. And it's hard to feel joyous, and it's hard to feel excited about the holidays. And yet, even if we've experienced loss, or even if we're feeling sad, right, and not necessarily sad because of depression or anything like that, but just we're feeling sad because of some reason, maybe some reason we don't even know, I think it's still possible to experience gratitude. And one of the things that I'll share with you, if you want a basic reason to be grateful for existence, is Sir Richard Dawkins talks about this idea that, you know, we're going to die and we are the lucky ones. And what he says is, Richard Dawkins is a physicist. You may be familiar with him. He's written many books, but he has, I saw this YouTube video that he did that talked about this idea that we're going to die and we're the lucky ones. And the reason he says we're so lucky is because the chances of being born at all, the chances of existing, are infinitesimal. He said, when you think about all the people that could have possibly been born and were not, and you think about, you know, your existence and the fact that you get to exist and be here on this planet at this moment in time, is the odds are greater than any Powerball or any lottery that you could ever hope to have. And so just the fact that we exist and we get to be here and we get to have this journey, I think is gratitude enough, you know, that we actually get to have this human existence, that we get to grow and learn. And then to put on top of that, you know, if you're listening to this and you live in a country that's relatively developed, and I don't mean it has to be a Western country by any means. I don't think that Western countries have it all figured out. But if you're in a country where you have enough food, you have safety, you have shelter, that alone, you know, the fact that you get to choose your own destiny, that you don't live under a tyrant, that to whatever degree, you know, you can have freedom in your life, those things, I think, are things that we need to be immensely grateful for. But like anything else, gratitude is a perspective. And like I said, I want to share with you, as I was thinking about it, some things that I'm grateful for this year. One thing that I'm grateful for is the birth of my daughter, Eleanor. It's something that I'm super grateful for. And now having a son and a daughter it's very interesting. It's been a really big year for me. I'm grateful for the opportunity to produce over 20 podcasts for people and individuals and organizations all across the country. and to help people get their voice out in the world each and every day. I'm grateful for Brent Carey, and I'm grateful for Empower Radio for existing to give me this platform to be able to share with you each week. I'm grateful for so many things, but those are some of the big ones that come up. I'm grateful for a wonderful partner that I'm getting married to next year, and in our relationship, I'm very grateful for that. So let's talk about the, before I go into some ways to increase your gratitude, let's also talk about this connection between gratitude and voice. So how does gratitude relate to voice? I believe that when we create content, there is an energy that that goes into that. You know, people can feel that energy. And if we're in a state of resentment, or we're in a state of anger, or we're in a state of whatever it may be, some energy that's less than our highest good, that comes through. So you could be putting out the best content in the world, and you could be putting out, you know, something that's really helpful to people, but if your energy is less than in a state of gratitude, I believe that people notice that, and it decreases the impact. You know, we no longer live in the information age. You know, it used to be, the thing was that we lived in the information age, that, you know, the important thing was to put out information. Now, people can go anywhere for information, right? If you simply want to know something, you can Google it, and within 30 seconds, you can know just about anything in the world. So why will people choose to listen to you? Why will people choose to watch your videos or listen to your podcast or read your blog? It definitely has to do with your energy and your voice. And so putting ourselves into a state of gratitude, for example, before we do a video or before we go into a podcast, I think really enhances the overall value of that content. So I want to share with you a couple of things. One exercise that I have found tremendously helpful is through HeartMath, and I'm sort of adopting this here, but if you go to heartmath.org, HeartMath has some tremendously wonderful exercises to do to increase your gratitude, connect your heart's wisdom. The sense that, you know, the heart has its own electrical impulses, the heart is really has its own brain, is basically how they call it, and that we can connect to this heart wisdom, that part of what happens is we get into our heads and we get away from that heart wisdom. So, you know, one way to do that is at any moment in time, just close your eyes and put your hand on your heart to connect to your heart. And then imagine as you breathe into your heart, breathe into that heart area, and imagine a moment that you are deeply grateful for in your life. It could be the birth of a child. It could be getting married. It could be, you know, getting a job promotion that you really love, whatever it is. Just imagine that moment and just focus on it for a second and really take that in. And then breathe that out, you know, breathe that out, and do that for about 5 to 10 breaths. And it really doesn't take much, and you'll start to see that it really can shift your emotional state very quickly. You know, I've had days where I was really, really stressed out and I stopped and did that exercise. And when you come out on the other side of it, you're smiling, you feel good about, you feel good about life. Because I think we often forget, again, it's that perspective. We're so busy. You know, every one of us is so busy, right? We have so much going on. The demands of life are so great, and it's very easy to get caught up in the moment. It's very easy to get caught up in the stressors of the moment. And believe me, I get caught up in the stressors of the moment all the time. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's not something that happens to me. It happens to me too. And I think that's why we need these gratitude practices, and we need to bring them into our lives on a regular basis. You know, so that's one simple one right there. Put your hand over your heart. You can go to heartmath.org and you can find that exercise and more. It's definitely a great resource that I recommend. The other thing that I recommend doing is journaling. You know, if you can do a gratitude journal, just every night or every morning, write down, you know, 10 things that you're grateful for. And again, not just write them down, but then look it over and really hold those things. You know, I have enough food, my family is healthy, I have a roof over my head. And what's interesting too is when you write them down, it'll be interesting to see what you're grateful for. Often the things that we spend so much time stressing about and the things that we pursue aren't the things that we're grateful for. That at the end of the day, the things that we're grateful for are often so simple. You know, they're very, very simple things. They really are. You know, the love of our, you know, the love of our family members, the love of your spouse or partner, the, you know, really relationships, love, safety, security. They're really very basic things, I think, that we're grateful for. Very rare, I think, that, you know, someone writes down, I'm grateful, you know, for the merger and acquisition for my company. It could be, but ultimately it'll break down to like, I'm grateful that I have enough to provide for more than enough to provide for my family or something like that. It usually comes back to something very, very basic and very simple. And I think when we look at that, it can also remind us that a lot of times the things that we're pursuing, I think it's important to have goals. I think it's important to pursue these things, but we also have to keep in mind and we have to remember that what's really important. Another thing is, what about, you know, the question I get asked a lot is, well, what about, you know, if I'm feeling sad or, you know, it is the holidays and I've lost a loved one, how can I be grateful when I have loss in my life? And, you know, one of the ways that I think of in terms of that, and I've certainly experienced that myself, is to think about if you experience sadness and loss over the loss of someone, it means that you care about them or that you had love for them at some point. We don't feel lost for people that we don't care about. And so the gratitude in there for me is about the memories, you know, the memories that we have that, that as Viktor Frankl talked about in Man's Search for Meaning, he said that in the past, nothing is irrevocably lost, but actually is stored forever. No one can ever take it away from us. Our memories are not things that are gone. They are things that we have forever. No one can take those memories away from us. And I think that's a beautiful way to look at it. So if you are experiencing the loss of a loved one, you know, one of the things you might do is just write down, you know, what you were grateful for in that relationship with that person. Now, I know that that could, if that feels overwhelming, then be careful. I mean, if you've just experienced a recent loss of someone, that may be too difficult to do at this moment. But if it's a loss of someone where there's been some time and you feel like you can contain your emotions enough to do it, just really holding and thinking about the times that you had with that person and how your life is better for having interacted with that person can often, it doesn't make the sadness go away. The idea isn't that you're going to make it go away, you're going to fix it, but it can add gratitude as part of those feelings. You know, that's the thing, we can experience, you know, more than one feeling at once, right? We don't only experience one feeling, we can hold several feelings at once, and we can add gratitude for the fact that we did care about someone enough to lose them. Because ultimately, like I said, you know, if you never allow yourself to care about anyone, then you'll never experience loss. It's only because we obviously did connect with this person and we can be grateful for that connection, even in the midst of loss. So I think that's a really good way. Another way to hold gratitude is actually there's a one of my earliest podcasts I did was with a company that had a bracelet called Meaning to Pause. And I don't know if they're still in the business. I believe they are. But at any rate, the idea of it was that it was a bracelet that vibrated every so often. And what it would do is it would remind you to pause and stop and check into your body. And one of the things we could do this now, obviously, with cell phones. And I'm sure there are many apps, but obviously you can do this, just set an alarm. Set some type of reminder for yourself throughout the day, you know, and take a little gratitude break. You know, it doesn't have to be very long. It could be a minute. It could be 2 minutes. If you want it to be 5 minutes, that's fine too, but it only needs to be a few minutes. You know, set yourself a reminder for a gratitude break. Now that might seem silly, but I think it's really important because again, gratitude is something that when you think about what happens in our bodies when we experience gratitude, it decreases the anxiety. It decreases our anxiety. Anxiety, when we experience anxiety, we release cortisol in the body, which is harming our body. So what you're doing is you're bringing good chemicals into your brain and through your body instead of releasing cortisol and stress hormones that will obviously be detrimental to your body. So it's a way to be healthier, you know, but also spiritually healthier, because again, when we're coming from a place of grounding, right, it helps us ground ourselves. We're going to have a better day. And I don't mean spirituality in any mystical sense of the term, really. I just mean spirituality in the sense of living a life of purpose and meaning. And the other piece I think that's really important is this idea of, and this is something that you might need to do once a week or once a month. One of the things I like to think about is, you know, how do I truly measure success? And that helps me stay grateful as well. So if I think to myself, you know, what is my purpose in life? You know, what am I trying to accomplish on a day-to-day basis that I even can measure success? Because we get so often caught up in the stuff of life, right? We're so busy, we have to do this. I got to drop the kids off and I got to do this and then I got to go, you know, do this podcast and then I have to do this. Okay, but what's success, right? What is success for me? And for me, it's about a couple things. It's obviously loving the people in my life and nourishing and honoring the connections that I have that are meaningful to me. The other thing is really helping, being a conduit, being a spark for others to share their voice in the world. So if I put a podcast out, if I edit a podcast and I put it out in the world, for me, that's not just, okay, I uploaded a podcast. It's, oh, I put this out in the world. This wouldn't be out there. You know, I'm helping this person get their message out to other people and I get to be a part of that. Or if I'm doing something like this right now with you, I'm putting myself into a state of gratitude that I get to speak into this microphone and be able to share something with you wherever you are in the world. And hopefully, you know, hopefully this is in some way helpful to you and inspires you and moves you in some way and makes your day a little bit better. So all those things then become the measure against which, you know, I decide, okay, did I have a successful day or not? And at the end of the day, I think having that kind of measure then allows you, before you go to bed and you say, what did I do with my day today? You can look at those measures of success, right? You know, three or four basic measures. Maybe it's, you know, relationships, career, spirituality, and health or something like that. And you say to yourself, okay, how did I measure up today? And even if, here's the other piece, even if you didn't measure up in the way that you wish that you would have, you can still be grateful that you got to try and that tomorrow, you know, that you get a new day to be able to do it all over again and to wake up and try it again. Which brings me to another piece, you know, a fundamental piece of gratitude, as I said to you about the idea that just being grateful that we're alive, right, is something that we can be grateful for. The other thing that we can be grateful for, though, when someone says, okay, but you know what, Doug, I am alive, but I'm in chronic pain. I've had trauma throughout my life. You know, I've certainly worked with many, many people who it took a lot of courage for them, quite honestly, to stay alive because they were in so much pain and they were in so much just so much despair. I think one thing you can be grateful for is creativity. You can be grateful for the opportunity as a human being to decide what you're going to do with that suffering, what it means to you and what you're going to do with it. Maybe you have chronic pain and you can't stop that chronic pain, but you can decide, okay, well, you know, part of my meaning and purpose in life is I am going to accept this as part of my, just where I am in life. And I'm still going to live a meaningful life. You know, and again, Viktor Frankl talks about this really well with logotherapy, the idea that, you know, even if we can't change something, we can't change a situation. He created this inside a concentration camp. And he said, you know, if we can't change a situation, at least we have the freedom to change our attitude towards that situation. And that's really something that we need to be grateful for. So just being able, even if you're in, you know, like I said, you know, you're listening to this and you're saying, come on, Doug, you know, my life is really awful. And, you know, try being in my shoes for a minute. I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna here. I know that if you're listening to this, you might be in real suffering and real pain. And I'm not trying to downplay that. What I'm saying is you can still be grateful. You can be grateful that you have the freedom of choice to decide what you're going to do with that. Right. And you can turn that into you can write a song about that. You can make art about that. You can do a podcast about that. You can just basically find some way to increase the meaning in your life and find the meaning in that suffering, the personal meaning for you, not the larger meaning of, like, you know, why does God allow that? But the personal meaning, what is it going to mean to you? What does this, now that you're in the situation, what does it mean to you? So that's another thing to be grateful for. Another thing I think that really helps is listening to music or watching you know, films or exposing yourself to some type of beauty in the world, I think really helps you to be grateful. So if you have music that you really like that brings you into a certain place, I mean, music is just great for this. If you listen to music that you love, that takes you into a, you know, takes you into a different place, and it doesn't have to be music that, you know, it could be music that maybe everyone else hates and you think, you know, everyone else thinks is cheesy. That's fine. As long as you enjoy it, you know, it doesn't have to be classical music, whatever you really enjoy, listen to that, you know, listen to some music that you enjoy. And I think music is a great way to do this, but music isn't the only form of artistic expression. You know, if you love, if you're a very visual person, then maybe, you know, looking at some paintings, you know, looking, taking some time and looking at some paintings, or if you love nature, you know, just take a look out the window. If you have a nice view in your office or wherever you are, you know, a couple times a day, just take a look, look up at the sky. I mean, it really is amazing when you think about it. You know, if we, in My Dinner with Andre, in the movie My Dinner with Andre, Andre Gregory is talking to, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name now. It'll come to me. Wallace Shawn, the playwright. And they're talking about perception. And one of the things they say is, you know, if you could really see what was in the grocery store next to you, it would blow your mind. And what they're saying is that, you know, the world is so much more than we often imagine it to be. We get stuck into our, we get stuck in our own little dramas, right? Which is where we should be. I mean, that's our own little dramas are our life, and they're the things that are important to us. But at the end of the day, we live in this miraculous, marvelous world that, you know, we only understand a small piece of. You know, most of the universe is made of dark matter, and we have no idea what dark matter is. So there's just so much of the universe that's a mystery and that we have yet to understand and explore, and really, I'm sure, would blow our minds if we, one day we may fully understand it, but we're nowhere near that. And so just appreciating anything artistic that helps you come back to that mystery of existence. You know, we often lose that sense of the mystery of existence, and I think that's something that we could be grateful for. So when you listen to music you really enjoy, or when you look up in the sky, or you see a painting, or you watch a film that just makes you appreciate beauty, and it may be a sense of the sublime, you know, in the world, it's something that can really bring you back in a deep way to gratitude. So those are some practical ways that are inexpensive and don't take a lot of time to do to bring that sense of gratitude into your life. And I encourage you to try this. You know, if you're creating content on a regular basis, just take a minute before you record that video or before you start that podcast, take a minute and stop and say to yourself, okay, what am I grateful for right in this moment? Breathe, take it in, and then record or then write the blog, whatever it is, and see if you don't get a different response or if you yourself don't feel differently about the content. Gratitude really does put us into a place of deeper calm, a place where we are responding from, you know, our amygdala is not, you know, most of the time during the day, I think most of us are in the state of almost trauma. You know, we have so many stressors going on and we're thinking about the next thing and the next thing and what we're going to do next, that gratitude helps us to stop, to be present, and to be more of our full selves. And when we bring our full selves to the content that we produce, and we bring our full selves to, even if it's in a presentation, right, or you're talking to a client, or you're just walking around in the world, you know, how can those things not help you to attract more people to you, right? I mean, we all want to be around people that are joyful. We all want to be around people who, even if they're sad and they have many reasons to be sad, they seem centered, right? And we want to create, I think our best work comes from creating from that place and sharing from that place. And these are some techniques and tips, you know, for when you don't honestly feel all that centered, you know, as, like I said, as we can very easy to become uncentered. The last thing I want to say about gratitude is that, you know, people say, well, I don't feel grateful. But I think part of what I'm trying to share with you is this idea that gratitude is a practice. It's not a feeling. I mean, it is a feeling that is a byproduct of these practices. But to wait, you know, say, okay, I'll wait And when I feel grateful, then I'll go do X, Y, and Z. I don't think that's it. I don't think we can wait to feel grateful. It's in doing these gratitude practices that we awaken that sense of gratitude, that that if we really, when we're really aware that, you know, we could constantly live in a state of gratitude. We could live in a constant state of gratitude. I mean, all the things that need to happen for our bodies to stay, keep us alive, that we, that are beyond our conscious control, all the different things that are happening to fight off diseases, to, you know, there are way, way more things that go right in the world than go wrong. And we could constantly live in that state of gratitude, but we're human beings and we don't. So, you know, remember that gratitude is not just a feeling. Gratitude is a practice. If you are listening to this around Thanksgiving, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening to it other times of the year, make every day a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much. Remember, keep creating. The world needs your voice. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta on Creating Change.